The chance to own a home has become more and more out of reach for many folks. But once you step outside of King County, the story of affordable housing is not so bleak. There's a report out today by the University of Washington Runstad Center for Real Estate Studies. It shows that pockets of affordability still do exist. Stephen O'Connor is the director of the Runstad Center for Real Estate Studies. Thank you so much for stopping by.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, we toss around this term affordable housing. What's the definition?
Well, you know, there's a strict technical definition. The government establishes the fact that, you know, we shouldn't be spending more than 30% of our income on housing. And if we do, then, you know, then that individual household or family is considered cost burdened. But there's a lot of other discretionary factors that go into that, you know, kind of a calculation. But the cold, hard numbers is we take someone who earns 80% of median area median income. And again, the 30% threshold in terms of what they're spending on housing costs to determine whether or not where they're living is, quote unquote, affordable.
So if you make 80% of that income, are you spending more than 30% of that on your housing price?
Exactly.
And that's for mortgage, et cetera. So as you mentioned, there's some elasticity here. We just recently read the story of a barista who's spending half of her income because she wants to live on Capitol Hill. So for some people, affordability is flexible, or if you out of that affordability range, are you actually good on the road to financial insolvency?
Well, in many cases, affordability can be completely discretionary. Mm-hmm. So like the barista situation. So if you're living in a location where you're able to, for instance, to walk to work and so that you don't need a car, you can factor in that expense that you're not spending and include that into your overall housing calculation. And in fact, you know, in cities where there is a lot of mass transportation, that's a factor that isn't necessarily considered when they're looking at these kinds of equations, but it's certainly a determinant.
But you don't have to buy a car. If you don't have to buy a car or pay for the upkeep on it, maybe that balances against the higher price you're paying
exactly
for the home. Now, if you're looking for an affordable house or an affordable condo in the Puget Sound area, where should you go?
Well, in the Puget Sound area, this is almost getting to be old news now in terms of, you know, month after month, quarter after quarter, the prices are increasing, and it's fairly simple economics 101. You know, the supply here in and around the Puget Sound isn't keeping up with the demand. We're having tens of thousands of people coming into this area, for work, for play, for pleasure, for the environment, et cetera. And, we just don't have the housing stock sufficient to be able to meet that demand. So as a result, we're seeing the escalation in housing prices right now and considerable escalation, as we go forward. I think the latest report is in King County, there's less than 2 months supply of housing, of for sale housing that's available right now. So, again, simple economics, a lot of demand, not a lot of supply. Prices are going to go up. So then you start to go along the periphery. And again, we get back into the discussion of discretionary choices. How far out do I want to go to be able to achieve affordability? And that has obviously an effect on transportation, circulation, the traffic situations here. All you have to do is look, anybody who drives I-5 knows that, the increase in traffic over the last couple of years has been significant. And that's also a function of people having to go ahead and remove themselves further and further from the urban core to be able to find more affordability.
Is there any affordable housing available in the Seattle area by this definition that you outlined at the top, the 30%?
Yeah, well, on the for sale market, I would say that, anything around, north of the stadiums and south of 85th Street, no. It's a very, very, very tight market. And the situation here in Seattle is interesting. Going back to the barista, we have gained national headlines because of the minimum wage increase. But, if someone's making $15 an hour working 40 hours a week, it's $600 a week. 52 weeks, it's a little over $31,000 a year. If you take that 30% threshold that the government establishes for affordability, then you have roughly $96, $9,700 a year to be able to spend on your housing. And, in Seattle, that, you divide that by 12 on a monthly basis, that's $780 a month. So, again, take that as a standard in terms of, what you're going to be able to afford or buy for $780 a month.
I'm talking to Stephen O'Connor, director of the Runstad Center for Real Estate Studies at the University of Washington. And we're talking about the lack of affordable housing in many areas. As you mentioned, this has kind of been a continuing trend. What can be done to keep dense metropolitan areas affordable? We've got a whole committee that the mayor appointed looking at that question right now.
Well, I applaud the mayor's effort there. He's brought in a great cross section of people to be able to look at this issue. Roughly somewhere in the neighborhood of 70% of the housing stock in Seattle is in single family structures. So, you got to go up. There's got to be density. It's not a panacea, but we really have to start thinking smarter about how we're going to build and where we're going to build. And going back into the infrastructure that exists here and looking at urban villages and the other kinds of designations that are in the master plan, we really have to start thinking about how we're going to get more density into the city and
quick
more
question,
supply.
Quick question about that. Sometimes you take down a single family home and you put up a fourplex, and each of those units in the fourplex costs more than the home did or equivalent to the home.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's you see that all over the place, and Ballard, Fremont, et cetera. All of a sudden, boom, in the middle of a block, there's a 4-unit townhouse, and again, that's a function of the price of the land. If a builder is going to go in there and buy a home that today is going to sell for $600,000 or $700,000 or $800,000, that's essentially his land cost. And so, the ability to be able to amortize that over 3, 4, or 5 units is what they have to do in order to make that financially feasible.
Stephen O'Connor, thank you so much for stopping by.
My pleasure.
Stephen directs the Runstad Center for Real Estate Studies.